Good morning once again. We'd like to invite you this morning to open your Bibles to 1 Peter in chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 10 and 11 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 read, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Salvation is more than the forgiveness of sins. It's more than the forgiveness of sins. It is a transformation of a person's life. When you don't mention salvation, when you don't mention transformation, or not mentioning transformation, leaves the cross as the focal point of salvation. As vital as the cross is to Christianity, it really wasn't the early church's central focus. Kenneth Clark wrote a book entitled Civilization, and it points out that back in the day, the cross was a very late symbol in Christian art and in Christian culture. He determined that its first appearance, the cross's first appearance, was around 430 AD in the church in Rome. And so instead, the church focused on the resurrection and the believer's new life in Christ. And that's, of course, his death paid the penalty for our sins, and we died in Christ spiritually, but we also arose in Christ to walk in the newness of life. That's salvation. In salvation, what Christ does is he delivers us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us from that darkness to the kingdom of heaven. He took us from the pit of hell to the glory of heaven. Colossians 1:13, into his kingdom, to the kingdom of the beloved Son. That's where we are transformed, from hell into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So the new life is regeneration, and it really is the imparting of the divine life into our soul. It's the imparting of the divine life into the soul that we have. And so what's imparted into our soul is this incorruptible seed. It's a seed that can never be corrupted, and that's imparted into us. And that seed, what happens with that seed is it bears good fruit. It's an incorruptible seed that's imparted into us, and that seed can only bear good fruit. It only bears good fruit. It bears good fruit, and you know good fruit when you see good works. So it's a transformation where by which we get imparted into us an incorruptible seed, which produces ultimately good works. That's what should come out of us. Good works should come out of us. And so faith then becomes for us a living confidence based on what's been imparted in us. It's a living confidence. We should live with confidence of hope. And so the impulse for us today should be to obey God's word, because that is what has been put into us. An incorruptible seed has been put into us. We've been transformed from darkness to light. The transformation occurs. And so then it makes sense that our inclination would be then to produce good works, think good thoughts, do good deeds, no matter what's around us. That should be how we normally respond. It shouldn't be abnormal for us to do the right thing. It should be normal for us to do the right thing. It shouldn't be abnormal for us. It should be normal for us. And so What happens is with this transformation, it's an inner holiness that we receive. An inner holiness, and what inner holiness leads to is outward manifestation of love, of good works. And what happens then is we then start to look like Christ, which is what we should as Christ people, as Christ church. But spiritual service without inward holiness is called hypocrisy. That's what it's called. Doing things that look spiritual without being holy inside is hypocrisy. That's what it is. It's also called legalism. We have a list of things that we do. You know, at our church, we do A, B, C, D, and E. But you know what? We got a bunch of grumpy people that do them. We got a bunch of people who really don't want to do them. They just come and do them because they feel like I'm doing them just because I'm going to get something back. When you do something with the idea of getting something back, that's not a good thing. Not a good thing. That's not sacrifice. When you do something because you're going to get something back, if you're always looking for something and that's the reason why you're doing something, that's really not what we should be doing, is it? But you know what? Many people feel like the things they do are warrant them to get something back. See, to me, sacrifice is sacrifice. Selflessness is selflessness. You don't sacrifice something because you want to get something back in return. And we could give a list of things that look like that. And so what we're talking about here is an inner holiness that produces good fruit and good works. Because if you have the incorruptible seed in you, you can't help but produce anything that's good. The incorruptible seed means it can't be corrupted, can't be defiled. Nothing can be done to it. It's incorruptible. Can't be influenced any way, in any shape or form. It's incorruptible. And so what we're seeing here this morning is, as each one of you has received a spiritual gift in verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 4, as each one has received a special gift. It's a special gift. Everybody here has a special gift. And that's something that you cannot mechanically figure out what your special gift is. You know, they have these spiritual gift tests where you have to answer X amount of questions and then it determines what your gift is. Think about that for a moment. I'm going to answer 100 questions that someone put together, and that's going to determine a supernatural gift that's special just to me. Does that make sense? Does that make sense that there can be a man-made list of questions that are going to determine a special supernatural gift that God has just given to each one of us? Sounds like a good way to make money. And there's been a lot of people making money on lips. You know how many churches have gone through spiritual inventories? This is how you find out what your spiritual gift is. You know how you find out what your spiritual gift is? Get saved. Start living the way the Bible says. Get involved in your church. Do things, and you'll figure out what your spiritual gift is. It's not rocket science. I don't need to write a book. I don't need to create CDs. I don't need to have 17,000 classes. What we need to do is we need to sit there, look people eye to eye, and explain it to them just like that, and you'll save yourself a lot of money and a lot of time. Get busy in the church doing something. Try different things. Try different things. And then you'll find out what your gift is. But you have to try something before you can find it out. So hand out the bulletins. So be an usher at the door. So help in the nursery. You know, people would come to us and say, "I don't do nursery. I don't do nursery. I don't do nursery. Sonia and I first became members of a church. We didn't have the option of doing nursery. They came to us and said, "This is the week that you'll be doing nursery. This is the month. These are the 4 weeks that you have nursery duty. They didn't say, would you like to do nursery? Would you pray about doing nursery? No, these are the 4 weeks. I have to sit in the room for 4 weeks with these crazy little kids during church. And then we've progressed to the world of, I don't do nursery. I don't feel led to do that. I don't feel led. Let me pray about it. Why do I need to pray about handing out a bulletin in front of the church? What's there to pray about? Can you help out in the parking lot? Well, I have to pray about it. That's when people say I have to pray about it, that means no. As opposed to whatever you want me to do, just let me know and I'll do whatever you want me to do. You want me to shovel the sidewalk? Do you want me to, I'll go visit the person in the hospital. Whatever it is that you need me to do, I'll do whatever. I don't have to have a title. I don't have to have a name tag. I'll just do whatever you want me to do. I'll open the doors. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Every Christian has a special gift. Everybody has one. Everybody has one. That means everybody has one. And so the Apostle Paul said, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. He went on to say, the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. He decides what your gift is. You don't decide. It's His decision to give you the spiritual gift. There again, been in many places where people have come up and say, you know what, I really feel led to teach the women's Bible study class. Now that's a kind of a difficult predicament to be put in when you're a new pastor in a church and someone there comes up to you and says that. What you don't say is, oh great, go right, no, I don't know. I have no idea who you are. Have no idea if you even have the gift of teaching. Have no idea. Haven't ever even heard your salvation experience. Don't know anything about you. So well, that's great. I'm really happy that, you know, you want to do something. But why don't we meet, sit down and discuss, you know, what that would look like. And then you go from there. As opposed to, oh, who wants to teach the men's Bible study? And you have 7 men raise their hand and you don't know if they're saved. Or you don't know if they can teach. Or someone raises their hand and they're a professor in a college. That doesn't necessarily mean they have the spiritual gift of teaching the Word of God. You know, but we see that every day. You know, the president of the bank who's a church member is usually the chairman of the finance committee. But we don't know if he's spiritually gifted to do that. We know you would assume he knows finance, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's serving God in the spirit just because he's the president of a bank. Remember, if you're inwardly not holy and not right, then anything you do outwardly is hypocrisy or legalism. And so the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. As every part of a human body has a certain function, which it does. Every part of our bodies has a certain function. Everybody who is a part of the body of Christ in this room today has a certain function. Everybody has a certain function. Everyone who is a born-again believer has a certain function for the body of Christ. And we're not only supposed to use it to serve the body, but to serve outside the body. So you're sitting here this morning, you have a special gift. There may be other things you do within the context of the church. And you know, we're sitting here knowing what everybody does, but that may be what you do, but that may not necessarily be your spiritual gift. Because you're doing something that's not your spiritual gift doesn't make it wrong. But when you use the special gift that God gave you, that is then accomplishing exactly the purpose of getting it. You've gotten it. The moment that you were saved, the moment that you gave your life to Christ, at that point, when you had that incorruptible seed in you, you also were given a special gift designed specifically for you. How amazing is that? It's designed specifically with your name on it because God knows your personality. He knows your temperament. He knows everything about you better than you do, and designed a special gift just that would work only for you. Now, there's numerous people that have the same gifts, but it's not your gift. There are many people that have the gift of teaching, but they have their own personalities. He's not just have a shelf of the gift of teaching and just start flicking them out there. It's designed specifically for you, which is exciting. It should be exciting. We should be sitting there saying, wow, what is mine? Am I accomplishing what? And I'll tell you what it's not. It's not the gift of criticism. That's what it's not. That's what it's not. There are no ministers of criticism. Although I've been in many churches where there have been a bunch of people who could have had that gift if it was one. But it is not one. And so 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 11, the Spirit distributes gifts individually. And that means it's peculiar to oneself, just for you. You have something that no one else has. Although we may have the same gift, yours is just for you. Just the way God made you, the gift is a perfect fit for you. There'll be numerous people with the same gifts, but it's fit individually for you is yours. So how can, think about it, how can the Spirit divide a few gifts listed in His Word amongst millions of Christians and still make it unique? That's what it is. We know what the gifts listed in His Word are, and what's in His Word is in His Word. Those are the gifts listed in His Word, and they're all, you know, other parts of Scripture that lists gifts. They are in His Word. But there's millions and millions and millions of people. So could you imagine? How does that work? How does that work? Try thinking as the gifts, as someone said this, try thinking about the gifts as colors on a palette. God dips His brush into the different color or gift categories and paints each believer a new color. Not only does the color, God color our gifts in different ways in Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 7, but He also gives us the right amount of faith to use them, which is very, very key. Not only do we have the gift, He gives us the right amount of faith to use the gifts. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Paul stated the same thing this way. He said, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, verses 4 and 6. And so, in verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, what is the source? What is the source? Has received a special gift. As each one has received a special gift, what is the source of the gifts? The Spirit supernaturally gives. The Spirit of God supernaturally gives, supernaturally controls, supernaturally energizes the gifts, and therefore we can't earn them. We can't pray for them. And we can't generate them because the Spirit supernaturally gives, He supernaturally controls, and He supernaturally energizes. So this term translated gift in Ephesians in chapter 4, 7 emphasizes that it is freely given. And the term that Peter uses in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 underscores the aspect of grace. It is freely given. It's a spiritual character which has a spiritual capacity. So, we have the source of these gifts. The Spirit supernaturally gives. He supernaturally controls. He supernaturally energizes. And then we also have the use. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards for the common good. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 7, indicates to us that every gift mutually benefits the body of Christ. So, if every gift benefits the body of Christ, that means non-use of that gift would adversely affect the body of Christ. So, we're all sitting here today in God's house. We've all been given a special gift, and that gift should be used to affect the body of Christ in a positive way. In a positive way. Right now, right today, no matter who you are, you're sitting here, there's people sitting in churches all around the world, they have an incorruptible seed, they have a spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit controls, he gives, he generates, he energizes it, and it's to be used to benefit one another in the family of God. So what we say to one another today is, what's your spiritual gift? Well, I don't know. I don't know. What is it? You ask 10 people what their spiritual gift is. How many people would say, I know what mine is? If you want to know what yours is, be holy inside. First thing to do is, we know we're not holy inside. Confess our sins. Get on our knees and ask God for forgiveness. Ask God to restore us into the relationship with Him that He wants us to be in. And I think most of us here have been around long enough to figure out what that relationship is and the things that we need to ask God to confess or forgive us of. And then, how can I help my brothers and sisters in Christ? God, what can I do to help my brothers and sisters in Christ? To help my family. To help my family. What do I do as a man to help my family? What do I do as a woman to help? I'm talking about your family at home, your husband, your kids, whatever. What do I do to help? Well, you know, I have a job and I make money and the wife has a job and we bring that money into the house and we pay our bills and we pay for the kids' food and clothes, and so we're helping. What do I do with the gift that God has given me that's incorruptible, that the Holy Spirit's in control of, the Holy Spirit gives, energizes? What do I do to help my brothers and sisters in Christ with that gift? Has received for the common good indicates that every gift benefits the body of Christ. If you don't use your gift, it adversely affects the body of Christ. And Paul said this. If Paul said, and if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. 1 Corinthians 12 and then verses 15 through 22. Everyone's necessary. Everyone is important. Sometimes we wrongly depreciate the body of Christ. Those members of the body which we seem or seem would seem to be less, you know, less important, less honorable. And we do that wrongly. We do that wrongly. But God has so composed the body, put it together, giving more abundant honor to that member which we may think lacks. And there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Verses 23 and 25. There should be no division in the body. They should care for one another. We stop caring for one another when you do something that I don't like. When you look or say or think or act in a different way that doesn't please, then we stop caring. Then we forget where we came from. Then that incorruptible seed in the spirit within us gets quenched. Then we're out of fellowship. Then anything we do doesn't matter because it's hypocrisy or legalism. Now we're just going through the motions, but our body is impure. Our body's not pure. And so the visible outward, you know, what we may think are prolific members aren't necessarily the most important ones. Rather, we should value everybody's role. And everybody has a role. And everybody's role is not just to come and sit down for 45 minutes once a week. That's not your role. That's appreciated, but that's not your role. Your role isn't just to show up. That's not your role. You're saved. You're part of the family of God. You have a gift, and you're supposed to use that gift to help the people in your family. So you're either in the family then, and you love the family, and you care about the family. And the reason why you do that is because when we were all unlovable, God loved us and sent His Son to die for us when we deserved to go to hell. So now we're happy to be in a family with people that are happy that God sent Jesus to die for them when they didn't deserve it. We all feel the same. We all love God because He sent His Son to die for us when we didn't deserve it. And we know that there is only one God, and we're all on that same page, and we all know that Jesus said in John, He wants us to be one so the world can see when we're one that they'll see what the Father's and Son's relationship was like. So, everyone is valued, everyone is important, but also everyone is responsible and accountable. Is responsible and accountable. You know, the older people get, the less accountable they want to be. I don't have to tell you that. Nobody wants to be accountable. The older people get, it's I'll do whatever I want, when I want, to who I want, and how often I want. Because I've earned the right. That's the attitude. I've earned the right to do whatever I want now. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. Once again, your gift isn't to come and sit on the same chair every week and listen. That's not your gift. That's a privilege. It's not your gift. Right? As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Good stewards, 1 Peter 4:10 tells us we're to be responsible in the managing of our gifts. In Bible times, a steward handled an owner's land, an owner's funds, an owner's food supply, and other resources. That's what stewards did. That's what stewards did. Today, most properly use the gifts that God gives to us. we must properly use them. Most people don't. I'll say it again. Most people don't. And most people don't know what the gift is. Because most people, they only want to come and be encouraged. They just want to come and hear God loves you and He does love you. But everything you do is not okay. Everything you do is not okay. What is okay is to let the Spirit control your mind, your thoughts, your words, your actions. That's the bar. That's the bar. The bar is to live holy. In our minds, in our words, in our actions. That's the bar. The bar never gets lowered. We just always have to remind about the bar, how high the bar is. The bar is high. The bar is high. Good stewards are accountable. They're responsible. And so we have to properly use them. Doing something to find out is a good thing. What can I do? What can I do to help my church family? What can I do to help my church family? And so there's a variety of gifts. There is a variety of gifts. Everyone's responsible. Employ it in serving one another, verse 10, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold means many colored, speaking of multifaceted giftedness. That's what manifold means. So two believers can have a gift that involves teaching, but each one is unique in its own to that specific person. Another person may have the gift of speaking or preaching, each gift with an emphasis on that individual's personality. So the gifts vary in their use from person to person. And so we are better off not trying to figure out our gifts in a technical way. A computer study can't identify your spiritual gift. How can that happen? How can a computer study identify something that the Holy Spirit of God gives to you, controls in you, and energizes in you? How could a computer tell you what that is? I don't know. If you can convince me of that, then I would love to hear the argument on that one. That a computer can tell me what my gift is. If a computer can tell me what my gift is, then a computer should be able to explain the Trinity then. I'd like to see that one. So we're better off not trying to identify them in a technical way. Because you know what happens when you take those tests. We're always answering those questions in a way that it's not really us. We're always answering those questions in what we want to be, but we're not. Right? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much patience do you have? I'm probably about a 9.9. Right. Right. Maybe a 2.3. Right, but we're not going to put 2.3. On a scale of 1 to 10, what makes... And we always tend to mark, well, we don't want to make ourselves too bad, but we don't want to make ourselves sound perfect. So we're always given a number that's not a real number. So how then is that going to determine my spiritual gift? Yeah, I want to be Jesus. I want to be perfect. But I'm not. But I don't want to be like I'm that bad. So I'm filling that thing out the same way all the time. And that's how people... That's how churches determine what their spiritual gifts are. Everybody gets a book, and we're all going to go, and we've done it before. We've all probably done it before. And 95% of the people that have done it probably aren't doing anything in the church because they're not really passionate about what the result was, maybe. And so we won't be able to ever precisely identify the gifts in a mechanical way. But we can observe how the Spirit uses us when we're available to Him. If we're available to Him, He'll use us. God, whatever it is you want me to do. You go to a leader in the church. What can I do to help the church? I don't know. What are you passionate about? What do you enjoy doing? Well, I enjoy this. Well, then let's see how we can get you to do that within our body. That's a start. That is a start. Whoever speaks, verse 11, Let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies. So as people that are in the family of God, we either have a speaking gift or a serving gift. And some people may have both gifts. But we have one of them, speaking gift or serving gift. Speaking gifts usually include, you know, preaching, teaching, discernment, leadership, wisdom, knowledge, right? To others, he gives serving gifts, administration, prayer, you know, helps, mercy, encouragement. You know, administration is a big part of the ministry. It's a big part of the ministry. So what the Bible's saying here, if a believer has a speaking gift, he's to communicate the utterances of God. A reference to Scripture in Acts in chapter 7 and verse 38 and Romans in chapter 3 and verse 2. A serving gift is to be done by which the strength that God supplies. God supplies the strength for the serving gift. So we're to do speaking, serving to build up the body of Christ, the family of God. Why all of this? Why? So in all things, Jesus Christ and God will be glorified. To whom belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The goal of our holiness, the goal of our love, the goal of our service, the goal of everything we do is to bring glory to God. That's what the goal is. In all things refers to all matters of Christian duty. Every matter of Christian duty in all things. And so the Apostle Paul said, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. He said that in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 31. We should want to bring glory to God in everything. Everything. Every conversation. Every act, every response, everything. Christians should want to bring glory to God in everything. And the way to do that is to live in the light of the second coming. Live in the light of the second coming. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Live in that light. Be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. Right? Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, remember the end is at hand. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The gift of helps is a vital ministry. You know, maybe you can't teach. Maybe you're not a great speaker. Maybe you can't sing. But you know what you can do? I'm sure you can clean a house. I'm sure you can prepare a meal. I'm sure you can do something other than those things. I'm sure you can make a phone call. I'm sure you can write a card. Don't overlook the significance of little things. Little thing. It takes 3 minutes to make a phone call to somebody. 3 minutes. Hey, I just wanted to touch base. I don't want to take a lot of your time. I was just da-da-da-da-da-da. Just want you to know, praying for you, love you. It takes less than 3 minutes. We don't answer the phone, though, now. Who's on the phone? Who is that? Don't answer. Don't pick up. I got call waiting now. Who is it? Don't pick it up. I don't need to talk to them. Remember 30 years ago, the phone rang, you jumped all over it. Now it's like, who is it? I don't want to talk to them. So basically what you're saying is I'm not home. When I don't answer the phone, if I look and see the number, you know, if I don't know the number, I'm not home. If you want to talk to me that bad, leave a message. unless I know your number. Now the phones are, you see the names. Used to be you couldn't see the name. Now you can see everybody's name. You know everything. Don't overlook the significance of little things. You know, the purpose, we've learned that the purpose of the spiritual gifts that we have is to serve one another. And you know what? Jesus is the perfect example of that. At the Last Supper, he washed the disciples' feet. He washed their feet. And then he said, if I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. And he also said this, Jesus. He said, whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. In Matthew, he said that in chapter 20, in verses 26 to 28. The question as we leave this morning is, are you using your spiritual gift to serve your family, the family of God? Let's pray.